Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God that we're able to be here just another time to be able to do as James said, and that is to look in the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of our God. We thank God for that. So we thank God that we've been able to into His Word. We've been in the book of Ephesians here for the last 7 weeks, and this will be our 8th week on the day. So we thank God that what a blessing it is to be able to be here. So as we thank God that our historian is in the house on today. And before I introduce him, I would like to make sure that I give out the call-in number. Should you have a question, should you have a comment, you can call us at 646-716-6566. That is, our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. I'd like to say welcome to all of our Twitter followers, welcome to all of our Blog Talk friends, and some of our new Blog Talk friends. We'd like to say welcome to you on behalf of Truth Ministry. We thank God that you are listening. And even if you're listening to our on-demand broadcast, we know right now we're doing it live, but you can always listen to these episodes. They're all on demand. You can listen should you desire to do that at another time. We'd like to also let you know about my brother, Elder Broderick Cannon. He's doing Blog Talk Radio on Thursdays at 6 p.m. on Thursdays, and his Blog Talk ministry is called That's Book. And then also a friend of mine, Harriet Camott, she does Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays. Hers is from 8 to 9, The Faith Hour, The Faith Hour from 8 to 9. So at this time, without any further ado, like I said, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to give you into the hands of our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's been a few weeks now since I've last been with this broadcast, and I truly have been missing it dearly. My schedule has changed for the next few months, but God is good anyhow. So.
Amen.
We're going to move on were in the fifth chapter, and I believe we've got through the fifth chapter.
Yes, sir.
And going into the sixth chapter, just to recap on the fifth chapter, Paul was giving instructions to the church and how to conduct themselves and how to believe. He said that they should walk in love. And then he sees that in verse number 15, he says, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools." So you should be aware of the steps that you're taking and aware of the things that you're doing. I believe that that's pertinent to all believers. To everybody that is saved, you should know what you have. You should know that what you have, people are looking at. And you should caution, use caution when you do things. Then he goes on to speak about singing songs to themselves, be not drunk, and also submitting one another to your wives and your husbands, and that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. And this is a great mystery, because a woman cannot be alive without the man, because indeed Eve came out of the side of Adam, but man cannot be alive without woman.
Yeah.
Because every man that came afterwards came out of the womb of a woman.
Yeah.
So we should love our wives, because they should be, we should love them as our own bodies, because just as Eve came out of the side of Adam, and he goes on to reveal the mystery that he's not talking about just man and woman, but
yeah,
he's talking about Christ and the church.
Yes.
That the church indeed came out of the side of Christ, and that we should love one another as Christ loved us. And Christ loved his church. And he loved his church so much that he gave his life for it and redeemed the church, that he might, it says in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That means that he gave power to the water through baptism in his name, that you might be washed and sanctified through that baptism and be raised up, cleansed, and that he might present it to himself. And you got to be careful with the language here. You got to look, that he might present it to himself.
Yeah.
So he is going to be sitting on the throne, and he is going to be the one that gives away the bride unto himself.
Yes.
This shows that he is both Father and Son. He is coming to marry, he's coming to redeem the church, and he's coming to marry the church, and that he wants a clean church. He wants an unspotted, unblemished church, and that he's going to present that church without wrinkle or spot, without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
Yes.
So this is very powerful revelations and mysteries that Paul is revealing about not just man and woman and marriage, but Christ and the church.
Yes.
And how Christ is going to marry the church and be wedded to it forever, for eternity.
Yes. And I'd like to say, that just shows you how people, it's like he's given an analogy here of people having respect one for another, not nobody king over another or queen over another, but he says, submit yourselves under your own, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God,
mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5 and 21. So then if you do that, and then I always tell people, I don't never want anyone to feel, especially a woman, to feel uncomfortable, because people disrespect women, and that should not be. And no one should, especially the husband and wife, you should not feel uncomfortable around one another. There are those, like the sister that I mentioned, Harriet Kamak, she's an advocate for against domestic violence. No one should be abused. The man shouldn't be hitting the woman. And on the other hand, the man shouldn't be getting hit either.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have respect one for another. So he's saying, he's talking about the great mystery concerning Christ and the church. And he goes on how he says, no man ever hated his own flesh. So if you love your wife, you love yourself. And so he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Amen.
So earlier, we've been doing this Blog Talk Ministry, I believe at the end of this month, This is our second year that we have been doing this broadcast. We started off with the Godhead. So we want you to know that there is one God.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
So this is what this great, and so here, and our historian, he's going to get take you on farther, but we've been talking about here in the last 7 weeks about the believer's position. The believer's position, what Apostle Paul was letting them know here when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, letting them know their position in Christ. So
Amen.
This is what the, so you got to be in Christ to even understand it. That's why he said that we may be able to comprehend with all saints.
Amen.
In a previous chapter, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then that's when he goes on to say, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We don't even ask or think of the magnitude of what he's able to do. So,
amen. Amen. So we should, I think the main point here is that we should love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Husband, love your wives. Wives, love your husband.
Yes.
Because not only are you husband and wife, It extends further than that.
Yes.
You are brother and sister in the Lord.
Yes.
And we should love our brethren. We should love our brothers. We should love our sisters just as Christ loved us.
Yes.
And just to take it a little further with the husband and wife relationship, we're just recapping the fifth chapter of Ephesians, the end of the fifth chapter. And in 1 Peter... I don't know if you went over this last week. In 1 Peter, the third chapter, it says in third chapter, fifth verse, it says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their husbands." Now, it doesn't mean they're in subjection to every man. It says their husband.
Yeah.
"Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement."
Yeah.
Again, not afraid of your husband, but showing respect unto him.
Yeah.
And showing, in Ephesians he says, showing reverence unto
yeah.
her husband.
Yeah.
So you should be showing due respect unto your husband, because he should be the head of your household and he should be directing you in the path that God wants you to go.
Yeah.
He should be the one that should be leading the family.
Yeah.
But if he is not upholding that duty, then you can't truly respect him. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah. Not in that sense.
Yeah, so you can't... She showed respect and reverence unto Abraham because he was the Lord of the household, and he led the household as it should be led because he was walking after the steps which God showed him. Amen?
Yeah.
So it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife." So not only is the wife to give honor unto the husband, but the husband is to give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, people talk about the weaker vessel and making the claim that women are weaker than men. And physically, there may be something to that, but that's not what this is referring to. When he says the weaker vessel, he's talking about the more precious vessel.
Yeah.
It's like fragile. A crown jewel that you should want to take care of and protect.
Yes.
You should want to protect your wife. You should want to be there for your wife through anything so that nothing bad happens unto her, because the wife is that which bears the children. That's what keeps the seed going. Amen?
Yes.
The wife is what keeps your family heirloom going. Amen? So that we should be holding our wives precious to ourselves, close to our bodies. Amen? We should want to hold them and want them to be close with us and want them to know exactly which direction that you are taking them.
Mm-hmm.
"And as being heirs together of the grace of life." Why are you heirs together? Because not only are you husband and wife, but you are brother and sister, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. "Together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You can hinder one another if you are not in accord with one another, if you are not in one accord with your husband or you're not one accord with your wife, you can actually hinder each other in the body of Christ and in your functionality of in the body of Christ.
Yes.
You cannot properly function if you are not in accord with your husband and or your wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this shows how important love is to the body of Christ and to the sanctity of marriage and to the family.
Mm-hmm.
Love is key,
yeah,
because we should all be walking in love, because if we have love in us, we have Christ in us,
yeah,
because Christ is love.
Right.
God is love. So we should want to be in God because God should be in us.
Yes.
So that is so important. That I think that's one of the most key things about being a Christian. And it's one thing that many people are missing nowadays is love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, that's what they asked Jesus a question in Matthew 22:36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen.
Like you say, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to work no ill to your neighbor.
Amen. And if you love your God, then hate isn't going to work through you like that.
No, you're not going to be tearing down your brother. You're going to be fighting against the devil and right, you know, wrong. But no, you're not going to work no ill to your neighbor if you love like you should.
Amen.
And how can we say we love God whom we have not seen, amen, and hate our brother
right,
who's sitting right next to
right
us? And then, just doesn't add up.
No, and then another thing, like people say, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. Well, he made that. He took care of that. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Amen.
And then baptism is a commandment.
Amen. And loving your brother is a commandment.
Yes.
He told them to love one another. All right. So with that being said, we're just recapping that fifth chapter.
Yeah.
We can move on into the sixth chapter. This is, some more instructions to the final instructions unto the church. In this epistle.
Yeah.
He says, going in chapter 6, verse number 1, he says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Obey the people that have rule over you.
Yeah.
There is order that is set within the not only the body of Christ, but within the family. There's an order that is set, and children should be subservient unto those that have rule over them. That is their parents,
mm-hmm,
or their legal guardians.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So if you are in the care of somebody, and now we're speaking of, is speaking in spiritual aspect, we're speaking of the congregation and the pastor.
Yeah.
If you are in the care of your pastor, you should obey your pastor.
Yeah.
You should follow after what your pastor instructs you to do, because he has rule over you and he should be caring for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And he has direction for your soul to make sure that you do not fall by the wayside, that you do not get caught up in the cares of this life, that you do not get choked up, but you go forward in fruitfulness. That is what the pastor's main concern should be, and this is why children should obey the one that has the rule over them.
Yeah.
Because that it may be well with you, that you may as live long on the earth. So we have to be obedient.
Yes.
Obedient to all that is coming out of the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor should be the main guide for you in the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, and I say the pastor, And that is very key, because a lot of times nowadays people don't follow after what their pastors say,
mm-hmm.
or they're following after some pastor that is not concerned for their soul. But we have to, you have to find a pastor that is concerned for your soul. He should be the shepherd of the flock.
Mm-hmm.
He should want to protect the flock. He should want to feed the flock. He should want to make sure the flock is well nourished. And if you do not follow after the pastor, you will find yourself shipwrecked. And I believe I want to go to Hebrews,
mm-hmm.
the 13th chapter.
Mm-hmm. That's right. 17th verse.
The 17th verse, it says, "Obey them that have the rule
mm-hmm.
over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you." They have watched for your souls, and they have to give account unto God. So they should be praying with everything that they do. They should be praying and seeking guidance from the Lord, and the answer that they give you, the instructions that they give you, the mandate that they give you should be directed by God, and you should follow after that mandate just as God has spoken unto you.
Right.
Because that the pastor is the main mouthpiece within the local church
yes.
body.
Amen. Yes, and I was going to say, notice what it says, obey them that have the rule. What is the rule? The word is the rule. They have the word.
Amen. Uh-huh. And that the pastor should be in tune with the word.
Yes.
He should be following after the word.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not following after the word, you shouldn't be following after him, because he's not truly a pastor.
Exactly.
Not so, God's pastor.
Exactly. That's what happened to me. Somebody made a request. This a pastor on Facebook yesterday, and he asked for an amount of money,
uh-huh.
and he gave me all of the links for Western Union and all that. Then he said some prophecy of T.D. Jakes had about a lettuce or whatever. So I said I fired back. I'm not gonna be deceived by no man. That's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
So I said I don't care what his name is.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna fool me.
Amen.
So. That's, people don't like that when you do that. They try to act like, oh, you're too critical. No, you got to know what the Word of God says, and that's one of the end time signs that the Lord Himself said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Well, then somebody else sent a message back and said, "Oh, woman, they don't understand that term. Man means a human being.
Yeah,
it's like a man, except a man be born again. He didn't have to say and a woman.
Yeah,
and a boy and a girl.
Yeah,
amen.
You know."
And we also have to understand that in the Old Testament, the scriptures speak of having a watchman
yeah.
over you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that watchman is supposed to do is he's supposed to watch over the flock.
Right.
Give them warnings. Now, if that man or woman of God is over you and they don't give you the correct instruction, then that blood will fall on the watchman or the pastor's hand.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if the pastor is out there correcting you, as the Lord will correct or chasten whom he loveth, if he sends correction and you still don't get it right, the blood is now off of the pastor's hand. It is now on you.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot expect for pastors not to correct us, not to speak on sinful situations.
Mm-hmm.
He is supposed to call those things out. He's supposed to help us walk in righteousness, and the best way that you can bless, amen, the man of God is not with money or monetary things, but is by simply, as we have said, to be obedient
yeah.
to that man. That is how you show not only him love, but that is how you also show how much you love God,
mm-hmm.
by loving the man that he has set over you to watch over your soul. Amen.
Amen. So, and we spiritualize it, but this is very contextual for this passage of scripture. Now, as we move on, in the third or the fourth verse, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So you should be able to nurture your child. You should be able to tell them the right way to go. You have to know the what's the phrase? Nurture or nature, or
yeah.
mm-hmm. and you should know when to let them go off on their own, how far to let them go, and you know you should know when to bring them in, and show them that you love them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the instruction unto the fathers of those that have children. You should not just totally let your kids go off and do whatever it is that you they may feel like at all times, and not give them any sort of consequences or repercussions for their actions.
Discipline.
Or discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, you should not give them so much discipline that they turn around and they actually hate you.
Provoke them to wrath, right.
Yeah, so.
Because I remember, like, my oldest son would be 39. My second oldest son is 35, just turned 35. Well, I remember I used to be so hard on him. I used to wonder, like, why am I so hard? But he was the type of person, he'd shut you out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you,
that's the kind of person he was. I mean, he's not like that now, but growing up, you just know.
And each child is different.
Yeah.
Each child is different. I know that my oldest son is different than my youngest son. My youngest son needs a little bit, you need to be a little bit harder on him than what my oldest son is. He will listen to you. He knows what he's doing is wrong. He's able to self-regulate himself. You need to put a little bit more regulation on my younger son.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know as a father. Yeah, and you should be able to read your children and know how to adapt to each child's needs and to be able to nurture them and admonish them at the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
As we go on, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good any good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Now, down through the years, especially in this country, this has been used to validate slavery.
I knew it.
This is not what he's referring to.
Right.
The form of slavery that happened within this country is far different than the indentured servitude that was going on within the Middle Eastern culture, and even the African culture where our form of slavery kind of formed itself. Slavery was not meant to degrade another human being.
Mm-hmm.
Slavery was not meant to treat other human beings as animals. This is clearly what the scripture is saying, that ye masters do the same things unto him, forbearing, threatening. That's not what the usage of a master and a servant or a manservant was for.
Mm-hmm.
The menservant, usually they were prisoners of war, or they were indentured servants. They were in a debt that they could not get themselves out of, so they had to
work it off.
Servitude usually had an end to it. In the Jewish custom, it was 7 years, and then according to the law, after the seventh year, the debt was supposed to be forgiven. And it, as you went on in the year of Jubilee, all debts should be forgiven, which is the 50th year. So servitude was supposed to end. It wasn't a permanent thing. That we know, and we're not gonna go too deep into the issues of slavery in the United States of America, but this is not validating slavery.
Right.
This is talking about masters and servants, and the servants were supposed to be part of the family, and after the master let his servant go, he was supposed to actually give him reparations. and help him to get started on with his life and to have a family. And many times that the servants actually would marry into the families and be part of the family going on forward. So it is very different than the slavery that went on within this country. So I just wanted to make that point.
Right. And then here, and then also it's important, he said, and ye masters, that's with a little M. And he goes on to say, knowing that your master with a big M,
yeah,
he's making a distinction.
And we know the atrocities that went on within slavery and that they were not being mindful of a master that was above them.
Right.
They were thinking about money,
mm-hmm,
and thinking about keeping their product moving.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we don't really want to go into that. I want to kind of get into the warfare and into the the armor this,
mm-hmm,
evening. So as we move on, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. Now, when you're a soldier, and we have to think, because today's soldier is a little bit different than soldiers of past.
Mm-hmm.
If you think in the terms of a Roman soldier, which Paul was very acquainted with, Paul was a Roman citizen, so he was familiar with the Roman army, and because the Roman army was everywhere that he went. So he knew that there was regulations that they had. They knew that there was certain armor that they put on each time they went into battle. And he's relating this to the spiritual battle that we are going through each and every day. We do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So we should put on the whole armor of God. Now, if you only put on partial armor, you're leaving plenty of weaknesses for the devil or the enemy to get at you,
mm-hmm,
with. But if you put on the whole armor, you are totally protected from any attack that the enemy may have against you, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tactics or the attacks of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, or we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not fighting against men. We're not fighting against women. We're fighting against spirits.
Yeah.
We're fighting against devils. We're fighting against his army that is invisible. This is an invisible war that,
mm-hmm,
we have going on in this day and age. There's a war that will happen in heaven, but the war that is happening in this earth is very prevalent to us today. We have to know that we are in a war, saints.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know that the devil is trying to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on, let me go to St. John, the 10th chapter, and show what the devil is trying to do,
mm-hmm,
unto you. St. John, the 10th chapter,
mm-hmm,
he says, verily, verily, 7th verse, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the place where the sheep can go into and be protected.
Mm-hmm.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Everybody that came before, speaking of themselves as being the Christ,
mm-hmm,
or anybody that comes after me saying that they are the Christ, they are a thief and a robber. They're trying to take you. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal,
mm-hmm,
to kill, and to destroy. They're trying to steal your salvation. They're trying to kill your body, and they're trying to destroy,
mm-hmm,
your soul. This is the war that we have going on with us. The devil is trying to take us away from salvation. He's trying to make us discouraged in our salvation. He's trying to make us walk away from this salvation. That's how he steals us. He's trying,
mm-hmm,
to kill our bodies so that we cannot speak the truth unto the people that need it the most. He is trying to kill us. He's trying to make us succumb unto sickness. He's trying to make us succumb unto all these things that ail our body, that we might not speak the word of truth unto others.
Mm-hmm.
Because the main way that people get saved is by the word of God through another vessel that God has chosen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's trying to kill us, and he's trying to destroy our souls, because he knows his end, and he wants everybody. He does not want anybody put in the to be placed in the position that he wanted to attain to. He wanted to be on the right hand of God. He wanted to be in the position that Jesus Christ is in, and the position that we are headed to as saints of God, because we are going to be heirs and joint heirs.
Yes.
He wanted to be the heir of God. He wanted to be the Son of God. He wanted to be the chosen one,
mm-hmm.
that is sitting on the right hand of power, that he might show himself to be greater than God. That was his ascension. If we go to Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah the 14th chapter,
mm-hmm.
We'll see the ascension. It says in Isaiah the 14th chapter, the 12th verse,
mm-hmm.
it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart." He didn't even get to speak this out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He just said it in his heart. He
mm-hmm.
thought this.
Mm-hmm.
"I will ascend into heaven." This is the first thing he thought. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God."
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that the saints of God are the stars of God. We were thought of before the foundation of the world. We are the chosen generation. We are the church,
mm-hmm.
the called out ecclesia. This is where he wanted to exalt his throne above, because
mm-hmm.
we are going to have a throne above every other man except for God himself.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be in his throne. "I will exalt myself above the stars of God.
Mm-hmm.
I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." That is a position that the church is in right now. We
mm-hmm.
are in the sides of the north. The sides of the north is the place of judgment. The sides of the north is the place where you can judge. When you look at the northern part of the tabernacle, the northern side of the tabernacle, and you looked at the tribes that aligned themselves up right there, the first tribe that aligned himself there was Dan. The name Dan means judgment. That is the place where you judge. And if you look on the northern wall of the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle, you saw there was a table there with shewbread.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to rightly divide that shewbread. That represents the word. The word is what we are judged out of.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where he wanted to position himself, in the place of judgment, so that he could judge all of those that he felt he wanted to judge.
Mm-hmm.
"I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High."
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be like God. Who was like God and thought it not to be robbery?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He wanted to be in the position of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Philippians, the second chapter, the ninth verse,
mm-hmm.
we don't have time to really go there today, but at your own leisure, you can look at that scripture, that
mm-hmm.
he thought it not to be robbery,
right,
to be equal with God.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Lucifer wanted to position himself, to be equal with God, that he might be considered God. But this is how he was cast down. Jesus said that I beheld
Satan
and he
fall from heaven.
Exactly. He felt as lightning from heaven. So we have to know that this is the war that we are fighting. We are fighting an enemy that is trying to steal our salvation. He's trying to kill our bodies, and he's trying to destroy our souls. And we have to be able to stand up against him. And the only way that we can stand up against this enemy is to put on the whole armor of God and let God protect us. You have to walk into the door, where the sheep door, and have the shepherd watch over you,
mm-hmm.
and he will protect you with his armor.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get further into the armor and discuss what exactly this armor is. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So you have to be able to withstand your attacks, and you have to be able to stand and fight.
Mm-hmm.
To make a stand in military terms means to hold the position and not let the enemy take that position over. When you go in and you take over a position and control that position, and the enemy tries to come and take it back, you have to be able to withstand all attacks that he's going, and you have to be able to counterattack and stand up against him.
Mm-hmm.
It says, stand therefore. He's going to tell you how to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having your loins girt about with truth is the belt. You have to have the belt of truth. Truth has got to hold you up.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to hold up all of your armor. As long as you have truth, you are going to be held up and be able to stand. If you have righteousness over your breastplate, that means he is protecting your heart. He is protecting your back. The breastplate of righteousness will protect your heart from any attack that the devil might do to discourage you.
Mm-hmm.
There was four grounds of the heart. One was the wayside.
Yes.
The seed fell on the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was the stony ground. That means that the seed was not be able to plant into
no
the heart properly, and it was the plant would be easily ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was the thorny ground.
Mm-hmm.
They did not properly clear out the brush or the underbrush that was on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and it choked up the word that it could not produce fruitful. But the last heart was good ground.
Mm-hmm.
It was de-stoned. All the underbrush was taken out.
Mm-hmm.
It was properly tilled, and that plant came up and was able to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the heart that God wants to be planted in you.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you a heart, and he wrote his law upon your hearts, that ye might follow after his righteousness.
Yes.
Now, it's important to note that this breastplate of righteousness is not your righteousness, but rather his righteousness.
Yes.
That you put on you.
Yes.
Now, as we go forward, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means your feet, your shoes. The preparation of the gospel of peace means that the gospel is taking you in the places where you need to go and speak unto the people that you need to speak unto.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture goes, how beautiful are the feet of them that bear,
chapter of
that bear the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he also speaks of it in the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
We should be steadfast and standing on the word of God,
mm-hmm.
on the good news that Jesus Christ died for us, that Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
rose again for us, and that we are risen in him.
And, mm-hmm. and that's also dealing with binding, if you will, that good news to your feet. Binding it to your feet, meaning wherever you go, you take this gospel with you.
Mm-hmm.
There should not be a time that anyone that calls himself a Christian doesn't have something good to say about Christ. If someone asks them the question,
mm-hmm.
you know, I dealt with an individual right before I got my job, and, you know, I was telling him the conflict that I may have as far as being a minister
mm-hmm.
and working inside a correctional facility. And at that point in time, he told me that I don't have to change my hat, meaning when I went into the correctional facility, I would have to take off my ministerial hat and put on the hat as an officer. What he was telling me is once I went in that jail, I could no longer be a minister.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to put on this armor of God and have the gospel of peace bound to my shoes where I'm not going to take it off. I cannot ever step out of, amen, that capacity as a minister. You know, the new radio show, they tell you in the morning it's okay to be secular for 2 minutes. That 2 minute time span where you think you're going to fool around and you're not going to have this full armor on is when an attack could come, or that's when someone may come to you and need help as far as wanting to know the plan of salvation. And if I have not properly prepared myself, if I have not taken the entire armor, my entire outfit with me, I can not only get help, but I could also cause someone else to fall into error. You know, as Elder Fonder is speaking, when you think about war, even if you think about our soldiers now, there's certain things that Kevlar, their helmets, they have a sidearm, they have extra ammunition, all these things they need to go into war. If you send those men out there, first of all, they have to be trained. You have to show them how to use this armor and these weapons, and that's the first thing that we have to do, train individuals. But then you cannot send them out in the field without having the proper attire on, because they will die. That is in the natural and also in the spiritual, as Elder Fonder is saying, that this warfare is spiritual. The enemy is no longer, he's not coming to us and telling us, oh, you can't preach this word, you can't preach in Jesus' name anymore. What he's doing is he'll send attacks to your mind, or the breastplate, as Elder Fonder was dealing with, that's very good, dealing with your heart. People hold the issues of life flow out of your heart.
Right.
The enemy finds out what's really in your heart. He can go for your heart, and if you are not protected by God's righteousness, the devil can cause you to err. The devil can cause you to fall into sin because of the things that you are holding in your heart. Where a man's heart is, there lies his treasure also, which shows you, as David said, that he had hid the word in his heart. I hid that word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So again, I think that breastplate, I mean, we've all seen the movies before when those arrows go flying out.
You don't have
that breastplate on, that arrow hits you in the chest, where that breastplate should be in the natural sense, you're going to die. Well, so likewise, if the enemy is sending attacks to the breastplate, amen, you have to have yourself prepared. But dealing with the feet being shod with the preparation of peace, we have to take the gospel and bind it to our feet, so wherever we go, we take the good news with us.
And just to comment on the comment of the morning show that you're speaking of, where you can be secular for 2 minutes, you can't underestimate your enemy.
Right.
You have to know that your enemy is making planned attacks.
Yes.
They calculate. they have coordinated, calculated attacks that they go for, and you have to know the intricacies of war, that any battle plan is made. They have to find the weakness of the other army. And if they find that weakness is in that 2 minutes that you put yourself down, and you don't have any armor on, he is going to come in those 2 minutes, and he will overtake you. You cannot underestimate the enemy that we have. So it's good that you mentioned that you have to bind the gospel unto your feet and keep it on you at all times.
Right, and then see, people don't understand that. They think the church is the building. That's what Jesus was trying to get them to straight. They talk about the temple. They don't realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the whole thing is, like a long time ago, some years ago, Bishop David Ellis had a record out, and it was entitled, "Don't Let the Devil Blow Your Mind."
Yeah.
That's what he want to do, is try to blow your mind.
Amen.
See, they try to talk about taking prayer out of the school and all that. I'm cursing devils right now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You can't stop a real child of God from praying in his heart or in his spirit.
Amen.
It ain't what's coming out of your heart. It starts in your heart anyway.
In your heart.
It comes out of your mouth.
The thoughts proceed from your heart. And we're not just talking about this muscle that is in your chest. We're talking about the heart that is in your mind.
Right, the spirit of your mind.
Yeah, and the conscious part of you where thoughts exist. And if he attacks your mind and blows your mind, you can't properly worship God.
No.
Because you have to worship, you have to let God into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't let God into your heart, the devil will blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So as we move on, it says, because I want to get through all this armor, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith,
wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, not just some,
mm-hmm.
not just a few, but all of the fiery darts of the wicked. So anything that the wicked shall fire unto you,
mm-hmm.
if you hold up your faith and stand strong in your faith and hold up that faith with all that you've got, that shield is going to take out all of those fiery darts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to hold up your faith, saints. And again, the shield is something that you strapped under your arm and you had to keep it there during the entire battle.
Mm-hmm.
And our battles don't end. Amen.
Right.
Our war doesn't end. We have to carry our shields wherever we go because we never know when the fiery darts will be fired because there's such thing as an ambush
mm-hmm.
where the enemy will stay in a place that you cannot see
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden you see a bunch of arrows in the air
mm-hmm.
and you have to hold up that shield to block off all those arrows.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be quick. You have to know what is coming at you, when it's coming at you, and why it's coming at you.
Yeah.
It's coming at you because you're a child of God
yeah.
and you have the truth on you. And you have to be able to hold up your faith to block all attacks.
Yes.
And it says, and in the 17th verse, I was going to make another point, but I'll make it with this. And take the helmet of salvation. You have to hold your salvation on your head. That's,
yeah.
Again, that protects your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Your salvation protects your mind. If you know that you're saved, if you know that you have the salvation of God, nothing that the devil can say will be able to deter you from the salvation that you have. But you have to hold it dear to you.
Yeah.
That's one of the dearest parts of your armor is your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Because without your helmet, your any attack to your head is potentially fatal.
Yes.
We just went through a situation. A brother of ours got shot in his head,
mm-hmm.
and God's grace was upon him.
Yeah.
That the bullet did not make any brain damage. It just bounced on his skull and ended up in the back of his skull. And they had to do surgery, but he did not sustain any permanent brain damage, and he didn't die.
Right.
Because it was a fairly close shot. I don't know. I was hearing point blank, but I don't think it was quite point blank range. But it was a shot to the head
mm-hmm.
that he survived.
Mm-hmm.
God will have grace on those whom He will.
Yes.
Whom He loveth.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in the grace of God, He will save you. And this brother knew his salvation.
Yes.
He knew what he had. He knew that God was with him.
Yeah.
And that the enemy wasn't going to take him out. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the sword is a twofold piece of armor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can do one of two things. One, it can defend.
Yes.
If an enemy tries to bring his sword or his word up against you, you can defend yourself with the word. And
mm-hmm.
if you have the true word of God rightly divided, it will overtake that enemy's sword anytime. It
yeah.
will not break. Because the word of God is unbroken and unmatched.
Yeah.
But you can also make an attack move with the word of God. This is the only offensive piece of armor that you have available unto you. So
yeah.
you should know your word,
mm-hmm.
saints of God.
Yeah.
You should know the word of God. You should know how to rightly divide the word of God. You should know where salvation is in the word of God. You should know who Jesus Christ is in the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You should know that He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost. You should know about baptism. You should know about the Holy Ghost. You should know about Old Testament. You should know about New Testament.
Yeah.
You should know about the covenants. You should know about what your covenant is, what your promises are, that you're not taking promises away from Israel.
Right.
You should know that what you have, nobody else has like you,
mm-hmm.
it being in the body of Christ.
Yes.
The only other ones that have it is the ones that are like believers, just as you are.
Yeah.
So you have to know and be able to be bold with this word.
Yeah.
You can't just, if you have a sword, you can't just kind of tap your enemy. You have to go for the kill,
right,
with your enemy, and you have to be able to precisely use precision against that enemy and to take him out.
Yeah.
We have to be precise with the word of God.
Yes. That's what I said to someone when I responded back, my last, because it was a conversation. You get those conversations going on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
So I said, the devil ain't playing, and I'm not either.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's a dirty dog.
You can't play with that devil.
No, you can't play with him.
You can't patty cake with him because
right.
He will try to kill you. We just established
yes.
that he's trying to kill you
yes.
and trying to destroy you.
Yes.
So you should want to destroy him
yes.
because it's survival of the fittest, so
yes.
to speak.
Right.
And you have to show that God with you is more fit than he is.
Yes.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes. Right. So we have to, what we do is expose him.
Amen.
Because he's a spirit.
Amen. And now to get back, and we're not going to get all the way through the chapter, but to get back, well, there's one more piece of armor, one more thing that pertains to the armor
yes.
that many overlook. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So prayer
mm-hmm.
is very important
yeah.
in the armor of God. You have to be prayed up. That's kind of your artillery.
Yeah.
You shoot those prayers up, and they'll come down on the enemy and
yeah.
take and vanquish a lot of those attacks that you may want to avoid.
Yes. Bible says that men should not
always
faint.
Pray and not faint.
That's
right.
Right. So prayer, as he said, is extremely essential for your survival. You know, saints, we should not all be on the defensive at all times. If you watch, for instance, boxing, if a man just backs up into the corners and on the defense the whole time, you're not going to win the fight that way.
Right.
At some point in time, you have to go on the offensive to get the devil off of your back.
Yes.
And that's when you take that word and you take your prayers and you put them together, you can fight. Saints, and a lot of people don't have this understanding, or they have it twisted, if you will, to where they think saints are supposed to be cowards and they're supposed to be doormats.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case.
No.
We have to fight the devil because the devil is not playing with us.
Right.
Not only is he trying to take you out, but he's trying to take your entire household
yeah,
out.
Exactly.
So we have to know, we have to be skillful with this word, as this is our primary offensive weapon.
Amen.
And just to finish up, looking back at this armor, you have to know that all of these pieces relate back to Jesus. If you look, truth relates to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the truth. Jesus is your righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the gospel of peace. Jesus is your faith. You have your faith in Jesus, and you have your salvation in Jesus, and the word of God is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things relate right back. Jesus on you at all times.
Yeah.
The devil cannot take you out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be prepared with Jesus upon your body.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared with Jesus upon your spirit. You have to be prepared with Jesus on your soul. Jesus should be on your mind most
All the time.
Amen.
Amen.
And on that note, we'll close out. We'll finish up the sixth chapter of Ephesians. These last. God bless y'all. I'm glad to be back, even if it's just for this week. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, received up into glory.